Chapter 19. The Future of Death with AI. The seventh way AI is controlling the global medical system is AI is controlling your death. You see, apparently, just in case the Antichrist and false prophet cannot knock you off with controlling your diet or drugs, and all the other leveraged things they get from the global medical system, believe it or not, they are going straight for the throat with having AI literally control your death. I'm not kidding. In fact, this kind of murderous wicked behavior by the Antichrist is going to be commonplace. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Revelation 6:9-11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer, until the number of their fellow servants and brothers, who were to be killed, as they had been, was completed.
Now, as we have seen many times before, the Antichrist not only goes after the Jewish people and seeks to kill them in the seven-year tribulation.
Zechariah 13:8. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds will be struck down and perish, yet one-third will be left in it.
But the Antichrist also goes after anyone who follows God at that time and seeks to kill them too. And we see that here with Jesus.
Matthew 24:9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me.
And in our opening text in Revelation 6, we saw the fruit of that murderous wicked behavior. The people in the context, again, were the tribulation saints, i.e., those Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who got saved after the rapture of the church. Praise God you got saved, but you should have gotten saved today and avoided the whole thing, but now you're going to be slaughtered. In fact, the Greek word there for slain is a very graphic term. This should really get our attention. It is the Greek word, sphazo, and it literally means, to slay, to slaughter, to butcher, to put to death by violence. This is not an average normal way of killing people. Not at all. This is a bloody butchering of people, a massive violent slaughter, putting people to death with a violent glee, being ecstatic about it, and this is being done specifically to people who turn to God during the seven-year tribulation. Now, this wicked murderous slaughterous behavior by the Antichrist and the false prophet should not come as a surprise to us, not only in what we see in Revelation, but as Revelation says, they are both inspired of Satan and Jesus tells us in John chapter 8 the two characteristics of Satan, that these guys are going to display.
John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
So, the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be inspired by Satan, and so is it any wonder that they are also liars and deceivers and murderers just like Satan? Not at all. Like father like son is the point, right? Now here is my point. This murderous, wicked behavior that the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to display in the seven-year tribulation, to anyone who follows God at that time, is about to be put on steroids. By guess who? That's right. AI on a massive scale, and I want to demonstrate that to you. It's unbelievable. The first way AI will be controlling your death is with AI determining your mental health. You know whether or not you've become a mental threat to society with the way you're thinking, and if they don't like what you're thinking, you're no longer a safe person to be around and you need to be gotten rid of. You have become mentally unstable. And believe it or not, as crazy as that mindset is, it is being promoted right now with AI psychiatrists. I kid you not, there is an app for everything. They have now reduced, basically, the whole secular psychology industry into AI programs and AI apps that literally follow you around wherever you go, to monitor your every move and facial gestures and emotions. I am not joking. And apparently, just in case you never physically step foot inside an actual psychiatrist's office to be deemed mentally unstable by their system and be deemed a threat to everyone, in this new way, this AI way, you can't escape the system. Now, if you think I'm kidding, here's just one example of a plethora of AI mental therapy apps that are out there, also known as digital psychiatrists that monitor your mental health condition at all times.
ABC 7 Now News reports. The next time you feel anxious, or down, or maybe just need to talk, a Stanford researcher hopes that you will reach for your phone. ABC's new anchor, Natasha Zouves, has the story of how a Bay Area app is now reaching people all over the world.
I had this grandiose vision of my freshman year.
We have all heard the saying that college is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. For Shishi Vango's freshman year was a quick lesson on how you can feel completely alone in a sea of 41,000 students. She said she fell into a deep depression.
I felt like I was such a failure.
One day while strolling through social media, she found information about Wobot, an artificially intelligent chatbot. She decided to give the free app a try.
I really needed someone to talk to. That was on demand and there in an instant.
That is exactly what Wobot provides. A little yellow robot is part cheerleader, part friend, and well-versed in cognitive behavioral therapy. As you are typing into it, it creates an emotional model of you over time. Dr. Allison Darcy, the CEO and founder of Wobot Labs, says she just wanted to improve access.
2/3 of people that have mental health problems will actually not see a physician.
She was floored by the results.
In the first day of being launched, Wobot will talk to more people than any physician will see in a lifetime.
Dr. Darcy says that Wobot is now far from home. Active in Africa, in the Middle East and South Asia. It received over 2 million conversations in a week. The data shows he gets results. A recent randomized Stanford study reveals that people who use him have significant decreases in the symptoms of depression in 2 weeks. And are likely to return to chat with him every day. Shishi said it worked for her. She has found a group of friends. But still has the virtual friend that never gets too busy to check on her every day.
And the key word there is every day. Now, notice to whom this was being pitched to and already used by the snowflake generation. The same ones that universities are cranking out by the boatload that are so weak-minded that they cannot handle any kind of conflict or opposing ideas and have to have some quiet place or a dog or stuffed animal to hug to cope. This is whom the AI psychotherapy bots are being pitched to. It is like they have purposely created the new mindset needed to have this AI take over on a global basis all mental health. Which leads us to the next thing. They clearly said that this is already being used all around the world, and it is free. Now, why would they do that? This obviously costs money. Well, I think it is obvious. Now there is no excuse for everybody, on the whole planet, to have their mental state monitored at all times, anywhere on demand, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, non-stop, and it's designed to what? To change your thinking. Which leads us to the third thing they admitted, and that was this bot was what? Monitoring every day non-stop. Total continuous monitoring of your mental state wherever you go. And as crazy as that sounds, that is just one of a plethora of these AI psychotherapy bots, these digital psychiatrist apps out there. And they are being pitched to fix all our so-called mental health issues and mental health problems that will save us all from all those unhealthy toxic relationships that we have to deal with, even at work.
Toxic work environments can take a toll on a worker's well-being and productivity. It's estimated that companies lose up to $300 billion annually because of absentee workers with high stress levels. That is why AI is promising to change the way workplaces operate. How? AI can play a significant role in strategic health strategies that can align employees' well-being with the company's mission, vision, and core values.
In other words, you are going to think like the boss wants you to think.
AI captures data that engages with employees across the business and actively communicates that information with them. These trackers are workforce monitoring tools interconnected with wearables or app-based tracking devices with the help of AI and provides constant emotional well-being updates.
In other words, a microchip near your body connects you to the system. And because of that,
AI can identify patterns and predict work behaviors as time goes on, including brain patterns, even identifying behavior and speech patterns that are either unhealthy or dangerous to others.
Huh? You have become a mental threat. And they even admit it's Big Brother.
Although this may sound a bit intrusive, employers have been monitoring employees' habits on their work computers ever since computers became popular. Besides, employees have often passively given consent to workplace surveillance when they signed their contracts.
In other words, You should have read the fine print. And
with AI insights, employees and human resources can build more trusting, healthier work cultures with smoother relationships. After all, a healthy employee is a happy employee with AI's assistance.
Is that crazy or what? Talk about George Orwell 1984. In fact, they have got it figured that even if you don't sign up for this microchip workplace monitoring system with AI, they can still check your mental state with social media.
AI can predict mental health issues from your Instagram posts.
So, they are already doing it whether you realized it or not. In fact, they are also saying, it is also already being done on your phone as well.
Will Apple track your mind, not just your heart? Apple's new iPhone's features use facial recognition software that could help AI. If your heart throbs, it can track that pitter-pat through continuous heart rate readings. On the other hand, if you're depressed, your iPhone's Face ID might be able to discover your dismay and connect you to a therapist.
You know, a digital AI one. But it gets even worse. Now they're saying, can artificial intelligence detect depression in a person's voice? And of course, the answer they say is yes. And as we have seen several times before, they are already listening to our voices on a continual basis 24 hours a day all the time with our phones, not to mention the home monitoring devices like Alexa and others. What? You better sound happy. In fact, they even admit that they really do have plans for this mental health screening to go global.
Facing mental health issues is one of the most difficult tasks in life, and with the worsening global statistics about mental health disorders, we truly welcome every innovation and technology that aims to bring down the prevalence of depression, suicide risk, or any other mental trouble.
In other words, we welcome AI to monitor everyone's mental state, anywhere on the planet, so they can eradicate any and all unhealthy, mentally unstable people who are causing all that trouble. And if you think I'm kidding, take a look at this.
AI can predict psychosis risk in everyday language.
Oh. So now you are just not diagnosed with depression by AI but having a psychosis or unhealthy mental state. Which means, AI can arbitrarily determine if you have become a danger to society. You've got a psychosis, you're a danger. And speaking of danger, here is the real problem. Who gets to determine what is a healthy or non-healthy state of mind, right? And I say that because the powers that be have already equated sharing the gospel with somebody being a dangerous and a mental health crime.
France criminalizes mental manipulation.
Well, what's mental manipulation? And I quote, mental manipulation is defined as exercising within a group, activities that are aimed at creating or exploiting psychological dependence, heavy and repeated pressure on a person, or using techniques likely to alter their judgment so as to induce them to behave in a way harmful to their interests. Let me translate that for you. That is a fancy way of saying if you witness to someone, you are guilty of this new crime called mental manipulation and it's punishable of a fine of $75,000 and 5 years in prison. And the judge will then order the dissolution of any group whose members are convicted of this criminal offense and ban them from any advertising and prohibits them from opening missions or touting for new members near schools, hospitals, or retirement homes. So now you have become as dangerous as a sexual predator or a mass murderer with guns. We are talking about sharing the gospel. Which means, now with AI monitoring everybody's conversations, facial gestures, words, deeds, you name it, everywhere we go, boy, one little slip up in word, deed, or thought, and you're going to jail for witnessing. Why? Because haven't you heard? AI and the powers that be have determined that it is not healthy. That's mental manipulation. People who do that have a mental disorder or psychosis. And we cannot have you going around trying to create a toxic workplace or home or society, can we? We need to lock you up. Can you see where this could lead to in the 7-year tribulation when it goes global? Anybody who turns to God at that time or tries to tell others about God at that time, will what? Just like the text said, they will be turned in and deemed mentally unstable because they have become a religious terrorist that needs to be gotten rid of. In fact, speaking of which, some are reporting that they also want to be proactive in this behavior and start giving vaccines to those dangerous and toxic religious terrorists, so they will never even think about God again. Think I'm kidding? Listen to this transcript of this alleged briefing and the solution they are proposing to fix the so-called religious terrorists.
Speaker. On the left over here, we have people who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression RT-PCR, real-time PCR expression of the GMAT2 gene. Over here we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there is a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the GMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach.
What you see here, gentlemen in the audience.
But by spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from putting on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
Speaker.
Our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, they have an overexpression of the GMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior.
That's crazy. They would never do that, would they? Well, not to freak you out too much, and again, I am not sure how true this is, it's hard to verify some of these reports, but this headline says this. They've killed God, I can't feel God anymore, my soul is dead after the vaccine. What vaccine? The new COVID-19 vaccine. The report says allegedly. After a second vaccine test, volunteer developed neurological problems. The second volunteer suddenly started saying, "They've killed God, I can't feel God anymore, my soul is dead." Gee, where have I heard that before? Maybe in the transcript of that previous briefing? Hello. Again, I don't know how true it is, and not to freak you out too bad, but after all we've seen, is it really out of the realm of possibility that they would do something like this? I don't think so. In fact, I think it is just in time for the 7-year tribulation and the murderous slaughter of the Antichrist. What is that? AI detected you saying something bad about the Antichrist. Oh. Time for your vaccine. You will never make that mistake again. What's that? AI informed us that you became a follower of God and you're trying to mentally manipulate others into doing the same. You have become toxic in your thinking. It is time we distance you from society. You're going to have to die. All current technology, all being launched right now around the world, to control people's death. But that's not all. Now they are skipping the whole mental screening process altogether with AI. The second way AI is controlling your death is by AI determining your age. You know, how about we just let AI determine how long we get to live in the first place? I mean, wouldn't that be great? No. And as crazy as that is, they are already preparing us for that reality as well.
Artificial intelligence, AI, techniques can play a pivotal role in studying the biology of aging on many levels. It can be used to develop predictors of age using blood tests and other synthetic data to give the most accurate, true biological age of the patient.
And believe it or not, this AI age testing is all the rage.
The topic of AI for aging research and productive longevity is rapidly gaining popularity. This AI technology is a unique opportunity for the whole world to free up resources for this endeavor for what could be more important than the life if lived on Earth.
So, AI gets to determine my age and so-called life productivity. Why? We'll get to that in a second. But now they've got this. AI age monitoring ability down to a simple app that anyone can download anywhere in the world. New iPhone app measures biological age. Anybody starting to see a pattern here? But here they are promoting AI age monitoring in this video transcript.
Lifespan News reports. Deep Longevity has launched a new AI system called Young.ai to track the rate of aging at the molecular, cellular, tissue, organ, system, physiological and psychological levels. Deep Longevity uses deep aging clocks which integrate many biomarkers to provide a universal multibacterial measure of human biological age. Deep Longevity says that the Young.ai app and web system will enable everyone interested in learning more about their own aging to get access to some of these aging clocks and start tracking their rate of aging.
Accurate biological aging clocks are really important to help us understand how and why we age and how to stop it.
Yeah, because you can't have that. Old people are a detriment to the system. And did you notice that AI app tracked not just all your biological markers, but even your psychological ones as well? Anybody seeing a pattern again? And speaking of which, they go on to say they have purposely warmed us up to it.
It has been an increasing trend in recent years for companies to develop health and fitness apps that track a variety of health biomarkers, including heart rate, number of steps taken, calories eaten, and quality of sleep. Given how ubiquitous mobile phones are, this has fueled the popularity of easy-to-use and practical health and fitness apps.
In other words, we got used to the physical tracking of our health with all these apps and phones, so now they're just getting us used to being psychologically tracked, including our age as well. And not just phones and apps, but look at this.
With a wide array of metrics,
including blood biomarkers, as you can see, with a microchip inside of you.
Also, fitness wearable data. Shocker. There you go again with that method, to warm you up to the microchip idea. And even, facial photographs of the user. You know, with social media and all the places you have plastered your face. Anybody seeing a pattern here? And they are all combined with the AI to determine biological age. Have fun escaping that system. It is global, and is already monitoring us in a variety of ways whether we realize it or not. Why? Because AI digital health with remote sensing technologies will continuously observe, learn, and trigger just-in-time care for people aging in home environments or group living. 2. Predict healthy aging and non-healthy aging and address health conditions like heart disease and dementia. In other words, they are going to have AI monitor you and report when you get too old or unhealthy for the medical system. Aging is a driver of so many diseases, including Alzheimer's and other neurologic problems. We may eventually be able to use this technology to develop targeted interventions. What is a targeted intervention? You know, if somebody is too old and starts to develop diseases like heart disease or Alzheimer's, that costs the system too much money, we can take care of them, i.e., take them out. Which is starting to sound like that science fiction movie Logan's Run. Remember that? Talk about preparation through Hollywood again. It depicted a futuristic so-called utopian society where everybody lived in these geodesic domes run by a computer that took care of all aspects of life. And, in order to be connected to this so-called utopian computer-monitored system, at birth each person was implanted with a life clock in the hand that changed color when they get older. And when it began to blink, the computer determined their last day at the ripe old age of 30, whereupon the people then had to exit the system to a carousel to be killed or what they called renewed. And the whole premise is that, in this way, nobody would get old and become a detriment to the system, and you could control the population of the planet. Let's take a look at that again if you haven't seen it.
Movie clip from Logan's Run. Announcer. Just imagine a world where you would hold your entire future in the palm of your hand. When a tiny glowing crystal will guide you to an existence where each day is more wonderful than the last. Where it is possible for you to obtain the fulfillment of every fantasy. The satisfaction of every vanity. The absolute obtainment of every wish. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents the Sol David production of Logan's Run. Announcer. The fantastic journey beyond imagination. Welcome to the 23rd century. The perfect world of total pleasure. Imagine a world in which you need never be alone. You touch a switch, turn a dial, and the perfect lover steps into your arms. Every pleasure is yours to experience. There is just one catch. When the tiny crystal in the palm of your hand flashes its final message, your time is up. A female voice says, "Enter the carousel. This is the time of renewal." The crowd applauds and cheers as they enter the circle. They are all dressed in white robes, forming a circle, walking slowly with their heads down. The crowd is now standing and cheering louder as they form the perfect circle. Female voice. "Be strong and you will be renewed." They lift the hood from off their heads, showing white masks covering their faces. The crowd is in awe and gasps. Suddenly there is total quiet. They start to look up as the sound of horns begin, and a large white light starts to show from above. Once again, each person in the circle raises their hand to show the crystal that is glowing. The crowd claps and cheers again in anticipation. As the circle starts to rotate around, the people in the white robes start to sail up to the ceiling. The crowd is even more excited. But as they float higher towards the light, something is happening. Each person seems to evaporate or explode. They no longer exist.
What kind of sicko twisted society is that? You are born with a chip in your hand so that a computer can tell you and order you when it's time to renew or die for the betterment of society. You know, population control. Can you believe that? And as sick and twisted as that is exactly what's being built right now on a global basis with AI determining our death, so the population control elites can create their so-called utopia. Which brings us to the third way that AI is controlling your death, is with AI determining your death. Just like Logan's Run, this is a step-by-step approach over many decades to get us to go along with this murderous scenario. First, it started with abortion, or the murdering of babies inside the womb, and getting us to accept that around the world. Which, by the way, Abortion has now become the leading cause of death around the world. Every single year, as you can see, 42 million murdered babies every year worldwide. Which is why the most dangerous place to live now is in the womb. And as sick as that is, they are already moving us to the next step in conditioning us to accept the murdering of babies outside the womb. Remember this not long ago.
EWTN News Nightly reports. Virginia delegate, Kathy Tran, pitched her bill that shocked many Americans earlier this week.
Todd Gilbert, Virginia House delegate.
A woman is about to give birth and she has physical signs that she about to give birth.
Would there be a point that she could still get an abortion if she was so certified? She is dilating. Kathy Tran. Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician and the woman. Todd Gilbert. I understand that. I'm asking if your bill allows that? Kathy Tran. My bill would allow that, yes.
EWTN News Nightly.
Governor Northam of Virginia is also facing backlash after his support of the bill.
Governor Ralph Northam, D., Virginia.
The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that is what the mother and the family desire. And then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother.
EWTN News Nightly.
We found that our governor is willing to embrace the notion that if a child is born alive, you have to just keep the child comfortable while you discuss how or whether to allow it to die.
And that is outside the womb, folks, and that's not the only Democrat entities that are for this. The Democrat Party has become the death party, and that is the political mindset one needs for the murderous behavior of the Antichrist, who is also the ultimate killer politician who's going to slaughter people in the 7-year tribulation. Now they have taken it even a step further. Now the Democrats want to start murdering adults outside the womb. First it was physician-assisted suicide and supporting that was popularized by Jack Kevorkian. I hesitate to call him doctor. Doctors are supposed to save lives, not purposely kill them. He killed 130 people before he himself died in 2011. Then we got used to that. Now it has gone to full-blown euthanasia. Also promoted by the Democrats, as you can see here. Now it's even gone to global euthanasia, with kids, not just adults, in Belgium being killed, as you can see. And then even kids in Canada being killed as well. And you don't even need to inform your parents of being killed by the so-called medical community around the world. And now, just like abortion, this murdering of adults on demand is going to become an industry, as this one guy who came out of the abortion industry, a Dr. Richard Nathanson, stated.
It's the next logical step after abortion. In the beginning there will be refined, dignified, quiet, places that may call thanatoriums, or some fancy word like that, where you will take your grandfather who is suffering from terminal cancer. They will be very understanding, and they will kill him, but in a very quiet, dignified way. You know, like in Logan's Run, maybe even people cheering it on. And he says, they will spring up and the next thing you know they are going to be like factories where they can get rid of them in a minute. He says, this is where the abortion clinics have gone, and now with adults it's going to be a terrible, dehumanizing, disgusting industry.
And lest you think that will not ever happen, the infrastructure for this has already been laid out in the Obamacare health program, with death panels to dictate when it is your time to die, just like in Logan's Run.
Bill Akins, Pasco County Republican Party. Here is the problem I have with the Affordable Health Care Act. Number one, there is a provision in there that anyone over the age of 74 has to go before what is effectively a death panel. The crowd boos in unbelief. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's in there, folks. You're wrong. Sarah Palin, former GOP vice presidential nominee. Of course, there are death panels in there. But the important thing to remember is that is just one aspect of this atrocious, unaffordable, cumbersome, burdensome, evil policy of Obama, and that is Obamacare. Fox News. What do you think the motive is of coming onto your side, saying that maybe we should slow down with this law? Sarah Palin. Well, it's in black and white in the law that there will be rationing of health care. They couldn't go forever without acknowledging that, or we would look like complete buffoons. And they would be deemed incompetent to not having read the law to understand that death panels are a part of this atrocity. Barbara Walters. President Obama stood before the joint session of Congress and said there is no such thing as a death panel. Is he a liar? Sarah Palin. He is not lying in as that those two words will not be found in any of those thousands of pages of different variations of the health care bill. No death panel is not there. But he is incorrect, and he is disingenuous. RT News. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel is one of the architects of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. He is presumed to be interested in preserving life, which is why it seemed outrageous when Sarah Palin accused him of wanting to create death panels. That was him, he was the death panel guy. But it turned out Palin might have been more right about Ezekiel's intentions than the country gave her credit for. Because Dr. Emanuel just penned an article in The Atlantic entitled Why I Hope to Die at 75. With a subtitle, An Argument That Society and Families and You Would Be Better Off If Nature Takes Its Course Swiftly and Promptly. In it, Emanuel clearly outlines why he thinks everyone should have the decency to die before turning 76. He accuses Americans of being obsessed with trying to cheat death. He chastises people for exercising, for doing mental puzzles, for sticking to healthful diets, for taking supplements. As if those actions are actually evil. He said all those death-cheating behaviors are part of a manic cultural site that he calls the American immortal, which he rejects as misguided and destructive, as in if you spend medical and financial resources trying to extend the life of a 76-year-old, you are being destructive to society. Sounds pretty death panel there.
Yeah, no kidding. And it is already built into our healthcare system that the government for some reason just had to take control of. Like many of the other countries around the world already have. Gee, I wonder why? And not so surprisingly, the global elitists and population control people admit to these death panels and even approve of them, like Bill Gates does. Look at who his dad worked for.
Bill Gates. The access that used to be available to the middle class, or whatever, is just rapidly going away. That is what society is making because of very high medical costs. In a lack of willingness to say, is spending $1 million for that last 3 months' life for that patient, would it better to not lay off those 10 teachers and take care of them with that medical cost? It's called a death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion. Bill Moyers. When did you come to these reproductive issues as an intellectual? Bill Gates. When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was the head of Planned Parenthood.
Well, there it is. You wonder why Bill Gates is a population control elite, and he is always pushing harmful vaccines and birth control? He got it from his dad. From the death culture called Planned Parenthood, and he is just carrying out the next computerized AI version of this around the world. But as he says, you're not supposed to have that discussion. In other words, you are not supposed to know that these elitists really are building a Logan's Run scenario for the whole planet where your death will be decided by some outside entity. And who is that outside entity and who has the capability to run this whole back-end system, around the whole planet, monitoring all health and mental health and age-related issues? AI.
Google's medical brain thinks it can predict when you'll die.
Well, gee, I hope it gets it right.
Google uses AI to predict when you will die, and it's 95% accurate.
Well, that's close enough, isn't it? And talk about having no clue what they're doing. AI can predict if you'll die soon, but we've no idea how it works. Well, that is comforting. And then pretty soon you'll get one of these. Genetic report cards will be the future of predicting disease risk. And as one family said when they got an AI score for their health, at first we were desperate. But when AI gave an unexpectedly high score, we were thrilled. And that's leading to even this. AI is good, perhaps too good, at predicting who will die prematurely. What? Who gave you that right? Who do you think you are, God? And finally, we now have calls for this to tie it all together.
Tony Blair calls for a new digital ID so people can prove their coronavirus disease status alongside testing and tracing programs as the world eases out of lockdown.
You know, can't let a good crisis go to waste. We can mandate a digital ID, maybe even a microchip, because we don't want people to lose it, so everyone can be tied into this global monitored medical system. Is this nuts, or what? It is almost like it was planned out a long time ago, even with plandemics, to get us to submit to it. But stir all this together and this is what you get. AI really is creating the Logan's Run scenario for all of us, that these elitists are creating for us and their so-called utopian society, that they are going to control. They never could pull it off until now. AI gives them the ability to do it on a global basis for the first time in history. In fact, speaking of history and the Logan's Run again, for years these same elitists have also been advocating the need to microchip people at birth to tie them into this utopian system they're building, like Roger Ebert shared.
Roger Ebert. Right now my mind is telling my body to talk, and it is supplying my mouth with the words I am giving to you. Then the mind could also learn to say to the chip, go to a certain web page, download the information, and supply it the inside of my eyeballs.
Bill O'Reilly. You believe that you will actually be able to tell your mind, through a chip, to provide you with information, that you can then speak. So, on this program, it would be really great for me. Put a chip in there and if I didn't know something I could then say, do I have to say it out loud or just think it?
Either way. Right now, we are loaded up with bionic stuff already. I am wearing glasses, I have fillings in my teeth, this is a wristwatch, I am wearing clothing which allows me to adjust to the climate as I go outside. So, it's obviously only a matter of time before conversions allow us to match the number one tool of the next century, and that would be the computer chip.
Okay, but all of those are external. This would be in you, and that is what frightens me.
It could be in you or anywhere you wanted it to be. It would allow you to make telephone calls without having a cell phone, allow you to search the web without having a monitor.
So if I had a chip embedded in my head, I could make a telephone call by saying, call mom?
Yeah, you would just say, hello, mom. You would have to have some body language so people would know what you were doing. Let's say you are standing at the American Airlines terminal and you are calling the Advantage desk and saying that you have missed your flight. Do they have any seats at 10 o'clock? As you are standing there saying that someone is going to look at you, thinking you are crazy.
Not if everybody has the chip. They would know what is going on.
You would just do this. He holds his hand up to his ear, forming an imaginary phone. This would mean I'm not talking to myself, I am talking on the phone. If you are reading the web on the inside of your eyeballs, it would seem rude to people, like I am staring straight through you. But I'm not staring straight through you, I'm watching Fox News webpage, right? So how would I want people to know this? I would just go like this. Again, he holds up his hand and forms a C with his fingers in front of his face.
This sounds so unbelievable.
If I am downloading information. He holds up two fingers like horns on each side of his head.
But it's true, it could happen.
Things are converging so quickly, and computers are already an amazing tool.
But we checked it out a little further than your article, and scientists tell us that it is absolutely true. And absolutely possible, for a human being to have a chip embedded in their system and have many, many things appear in their mind upon command. So, you would say, I need to know the name of the 18th president, and bing.
Not only that, but when I meet you, I call up your credit report while we are talking. Eventually, the time will come when a child is implanted with a little chip back here, and will learn how to control the chip the same way you control your bodily functions, and your voice, and your movements.
Including giving access to an outside global system that is monitoring everything about you, including your health, location, finances, age, you know, the mark of the beast system, just in time for the 7-year tribulation. In fact, they apparently even have plans for skipping the whole doctor's office or emergency hospital room or thanatorium scenario to take you out. Now with these same microchips at birth, they can kill you on the spot.
Fox News reports. This next story may sound like something out of a Hollywood thriller. A Saudi inventor has created a killer microchip. It's designed to track terrorists and criminals and, well, you can think of somebody. Not only does it include a GPS device, it also has a lethal dose of cyanide, which can be activated at any time.
And anywhere in the world. Can you believe this? Logan's Run is about to become our reality. They're putting all the pieces into play. First, they create the death culture with the right mindset to allow this murderous wicked behavior to take place. Then they create the microchip computer company, Bill Gates and others, and develop AI technology to run it, control it, and monitor the whole system around the whole world. And now for the first time in man's history, Revelation 13, one man, a murderous Antichrist man, can now literally dictate people's deaths anywhere in the world if people do not do what he says to do. Why? Because you allowed AI to take over the whole medical system, just in time for the horrible Antichrist slaughter in the 7-year tribulation. Folks, how much more proof do we need? The AI invasion has already begun, and it is a huge sign that we're living in the last days. And that is precisely why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the AI invasion to show us that the tribulation is near, and the second coming of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. And that is why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
People of God, like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising. Wake up. The point is this. If you are a Christian and you're not doing anything for the Lord, shame on you. Get busy doing something for Jesus now. Stop wasting your life. We need you. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get on the front lines and help us. Let's get busy working together doing something splendid for Jesus with what time is left and get busy saving souls. Amen? But if you are not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. Because this AI technology is not going to lead to a life of wonderful dreams and a modern-day utopia, but a nightmare beyond your wildest imagination in the 7-year tribulation. Do not go there. Get saved now through Jesus. Amen?